Hey everyone, this is Jessica Kufferman. Welcome to episode 383 of the She Podcast Podcasts. With me, as always, the illustrious, I don't know why I use that word with you a lot. I do use it a lot. The delightful Elsie Escobar. Hello, Elsie.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. Elsie's coming to us from LA today, very far away from her current hometown, which is NC in North Carolina.
Yeah, baby.
How long have you been in LA? How are the parents? Are you there with your family? What's going on?
I am here with the fam, with my mom and dad. I'm at their house. And
are you with your kids?
No, I am okay. Alone.
You're alone.
I came alone to be with my folks here. That is what's happening. It has been a very nice time being here. I'm super stoked. I've been here now. This is day, what day is it?
Monday, December 5th.
Fourth. I think this is my fourth day here. Ooh. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. Whoa. Going back.
I didn't realize that.
That's why I'm doing my QA today. So I'm just here for a few days.
I thought you were going to be there. I don't know why. I thought you were going to be there all week. I feel like I have it on my calendar that you're there like
until it's because,
New Year's.
Well, I'm off
until
for
Wednesday.
I'm off for the majority of December.
Got it.
So you have that for sure. But I will be, I'll be flying back and then I will be off of work. And I do one day, Friday. I work on Friday. So that is it. So that's what I'm doing.
Exciting.
And it's been great. Although weirdly, the weather has been exactly like North Carolina weather at this time. So,
well, that's not okay. What a bummer.
I know. It's been a little bit on the cloudy side almost every day. We've had a couple of beautiful days. One of the days was very beautiful and it was all the way up to 70. Ooh. And so in terms of LA stuff, I was like, I thought, oh my gosh, what shoes am I going to take? Oh no, like, you know, I got to figure out what that. And then finally, when I started to pack, I'm like, oh yeah, it's just the same clothes I wear every day. So I don't even have to change anything.
Why are you worried about, right?
Same,
just
all the things. Sweats, sweaters, UGG boots.
You know, I thought that I would be all fashionable this winter, but the colder it gets, the more I'm just like, don't I have one more pair of lounge pants that are like sweater pants? Like, I just want to wear sweater pants every day and that's it. I don't want to wear jeans or too cold. Everything else is too cold. I just want fluffy pants. Not even.
Oh my God. Uh-oh. My mom is literally walking around streaming us. I'm like, what is that noise? It sounds like so annoying. Those two loud women. She's walking around streaming.
Now you know how she listens every time. Like, it's kind of interesting that you're there because every Monday at 1 o'clock, whatever her routine is that includes us, I don't know where she watches us. I don't know if it's Facebook.
Wait, hold up. But does she not know that I can hear, like, the audio is picking up? Like, she can't be doing that. Mom.
It's hilarious.
It's like going to be in the recording. The double sound. John is not going to be happy, Mom. You're going to have to go upstairs.
No, let her do
what
she
wants.
And close the door. No, let her do what she wants.
Mom, 1 second. Hold on 1 second. Mm-hmm. Mom.
See that she's not going to let Mom do what she wants. Elsie's annoyed that she can hear herself double because her mom listens every week, as she should.
But, dude, it's sort of like, you know, when your kids are in the background talking. Mm-hmm.
Also, it's weird because, like, whatever she's listening to is, like, about a half a second or so behind.
It is. It's a half a cast.
What's
second,
happening? Like, so you have to hear yourself twice, which is annoying.
Correct. And that would be weird. Because then all of a sudden, she can hear me talk, but then she can't hear you talk.
Right.
Because you're in my ears.
Right.
So headphones would be a helpful thing.
Listen, stop trying to control her. She's your mother.
Hello, Bonnie.
To go upstairs and get headphones and completely rearrange her life. Just stop. That's not going to happen.
What was I saying? I forgot now.
We were talking about being in LA and the weather and how the weather's the same in North Carolina, which I said was unfair.
Yeah, but you said something else. Like, I said UGG boots and then you said, oh, fuzzy.
I said sweater
fuzzy
pants.
Fuzzy outfits. Yeah. Sweater pants. Sweater.
Yeah.
Yes. sweater.
I know. One of those was on my gift guide, and it's finally back in stock, so you can go get the Yiddy onesie if you want. Turns out somebody else was.
That's right, correct.
Somebody else was wearing. Somebody on my team, Amanda, was wearing her Yiddy onesie the same day that I was talking about the Yiddy onesie last Monday. So I thought that was amusing. Anyway.
Oh my God.
It's a popular item.
I have gotten fuzzy things here. This is a purchase I made just a couple of days
onesies
ago.
Onesies? Or
no, not
just
a
pants.
Onesie. It's a two-piece fuzzy. Like I'm a, you know, fuzzy person. I'm just all fuzzy and brown. Like it's a brown.
Like you.
No, like. Yeah, like, I guess now I'm all neutral. So I'm the color of the microphone that I thought I needed to have.
Yeah.
So it's all of that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Brown and fuzzy.
Yes. And you know what? So thank you, Bonnie. I'm going to address the comment that we have just gotten on the show right now. Bonnie has said, will this episode have Elsie on her Apple mic? Good sound, actually. So yes, I had a little bit of a snafu. You guys all know that I've been touting the Shure MV88 Plus as my go-to, and I brought everything up with the 88 Plus with me. I packed it up. It's the lightest thing ever. All the things I've been talking about, I open it up to set it up, and I realized that the last time that I was on this show that you guys saw, I took it out and I put it in front of the camera so that you guys could see it. I forgot to put it back into the little pouch. So it's in my home studio. Ooh, raccoon, ooh. Baby raccoon. And so, ooh, squirrel.
What?
I forgot to put it in, and therefore I don't have my microphone. And thus, I do have, though, the my second thing. This is something I believe every podcaster needs to have as an emergency microphone, and it is the Apple EarPods. The EarPods, not the AirPods, not the Bluetooth.
These.
Not the ones that Jess is using to monitor herself right now. But the ones that have, you know, the ones that used to come with your iPod, you know, little iPods and stuff like that, you can still get them. They're very inexpensive.
I can't believe you can still get them. It's amazing.
I buy them in bulk every year and I stash them because these are the ones I carry everywhere and they have a fantastic
buy them in bulk.
Built. I do. They have a fantastic built-in microphone in a pinch. I've recorded the feed with this. We're recording this episode with this. So you'll be able to hear what headphone microphones sound like and how good they are. And mind you, I'm not just letting it drop, though. I'm actually moving it in front of my face and it's a little bit like perpendicular to the earth. So it gets a better sound because it also bumps up into things and I don't want that extra noise.
Somebody tell me before we get started how to buy glasses that don't turn purple on camera. It drives me nuts. Is it because I buy blue blocking or because
yes.
I don't buy blue blocking? Okay. If the blue blocking is supposed to be good, but it looks so bad.
But that's because your light needs to be up here.
It is. It's believe me, it's
an
up.
Is it?
It's just
angled?
The computer, I think. The closer it gets to the computer.
Oh my, look at that.
I know.
They are
it's
purple.
It's really annoying. Never again. I'll never buy that again. Now that I know what it is.
Maybe you need to have show glasses.
I wouldn't mind some contact lenses while we're at it, but that's just going to be. That involves me leaving the house to go to the eye doctor, and we all know how that goes.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we have some interesting stuff to talk about this week, it looks like, starting with 30% of podcasters hope to make a living off of podcasting, which I thought was very interesting that you added this, especially today. First of all, how did you find this article?
You have to remember, this is what I do for like my job. Like,
I know.
So I have to search all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then so the headline's the thing that got me. Because it's very telling. Almost 30% of new podcasters hope to make a living from their show. And this is on the podcast host website. They're also, remember, we've been telling people to go fill out the Indie Podcast Report. It's the same folks, right? The podcast host. And part of it is that I believe that this information came from so they have a podcaster planner tool.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to gather data from that little podcaster personalized plan to start your podcast. It's like a little sort of.
It's very clever.
It's very clever. Yeah. So there's been a few folks that have done this thing. And therefore, they've been able to gather information from all of this stuff. And it says this doesn't come from a small sample of data either. This is 29%, which is over 1,700 new podcasters. So just over 500 people. So that would be just over 500 people would like to have their show be their primary source of income.
Yeah.
What do we think about that?
I mean, I hope you're not surprised. Let's just start there. Does that surprise you in some way?
Yeah. Well, you know,
it shouldn't surprise
you. I'm not surprised. I think that I hope that they're not surprised.
If it doesn't happen.
I think that's where I'm going with that.
So they also go on to explain that if you're going to do advertising in CPM, you need at least 40,000 downloads to make 1,000 a week.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. It's like hardly anyone gets to that point, I think, which is hard.
Yeah.
A hard pill to swallow, probably.
And I think that something that is incredibly good about this specific article, though, is that not only do they break it down, right? So he says you need X amount of downloads per episode in order for you to make money with this model, the CPM model, mind you. We're not talking about other models that can be a little different. And then what I love about this article, too, is that they break it down and they say, quote, to give you an idea of how realistic that would be, then they have average download stats, and that suggests that you literally would have to be in the top 1% of podcasts. So hypothetically, you'd need to be have your show in the top 1% of podcasts then. Then pretty much 10 times your growth to earn a living. So they don't pull any punches. They just say, this is the reality if you want to do it through advertising.
You froze. I have no idea what you said. I will also say that you're you are frozen in not the best stance. What happened there?
Continuity camera messed up. So we are going to no longer do continuity camera. I just switched.
Is that
why Ecamm.
Mama mia. Holy Moses.
Oh my God, that was hilarious. And that is a wonderful freeze. It's very scary freeze. Let me not make myself so damn wide.
Oh, good. Bonnie screenshotted it for me. Thank you, Bonnie.
The screenshot. Oh my God.
Thank you, Bonnie, darling.
Let me see if I can move it. Well done, Bonnie. You are now going to be able to, how do you say it, blackmail me from that crazy
picture
that we just see.
You can make money. It says primary source of income. And
correct.
if you are a creative person, that's completely possible. And even if you're not and you just want that big of an audience, it's possible. You just have to have amazing, mind-blowing content. You have to dedicate your life to your podcast. You need to be original and different. I mean, even then though, primary source of income, you know, depending on your goal, that can mean a lot of things. It can mean,
yes.
Oh my God, it's hard though. It is hard to make your podcast be your primary source of income.
You have to start to build it up so that it is your full-time job. And I think that a lot of folks don't realize, so this is how I would see it. If I were starting out and somebody wanted to start the process of laying out the foundation of their podcast to be their job, right? Mm-hmm. I would actually think that one of the first questions that I would ask is, where are you coming from? Like, how are you currently making your living? Are you working somewhere? I would like to figure that out, right? So maybe some people are working in a corporate setting. Maybe some people are working more like running a restaurant or something, or have been working at a brick and mortar store, or, you know, things like that. And I'd like to ask, and what is your position there? Like, what are some things that you do on the daily? I'd have to figure out what that skill set is, because when you start to be a creator, you actually have to do all kinds of things that you're really maybe never done, like figuring out what your business plan is, opening up a business account, making sure that you're monitoring all this stuff. What exactly are you going to need in order for you to make your goals? By what date do you want to be making X amount of money per month? What are the systems that you're going to set up? Are you going to be expanding into a team? Who's going to be managing this? Are you a manager? Have you ever managed people before or just managed yourself? What parts are you going to be? I mean, there's so many
things. Are you trying to overwhelm our ambitious podcasters?
Well, I am not. I'm just saying that you have to think about it from that perspective. Like, it's not magic. It doesn't just, I'm going to make a podcast and then.
No, it requires a lot of hard work.
Yeah, a lot of admin.
I mean, for it to be your primary source. There are other goals besides advertisers, though. You can get a speaking career. You can start a membership. You can sell merchandise. You can sell consulting. You can sell a course. There's lots of other things that you could do to reach those goals and have it be part of your primary source of income. But it's hard. Like, for example, I have a friend who pours about $5,000 to $10,000 worth of advertising into her show every month, and she gets 8,000 downloads a month, maybe. So not all of us have that kind of money to put into our podcast. We just have to rely on hustle. Her show is great. The show, the content is excellent. And I'm not sure how much more a person could do to like raise their downloads and their awareness and their visibility. But some, it's just hard. Niches can be hard. Finding listeners can be hard. Promoting it can be hard. I just don't want to be discouraging, because there have been a few people that were like, no, this is no problem. I'm definitely going to have it be my primary source of income. And then I said, good luck to you. And then they did it within like 3 months.
I think that the thing that you're talking about, though, Jess, is the point that there is a, would you say that whoever, whatever you're using as an example, had experience, knowledge, something about online sales, something about marketing, something about how to get payments, something about how to create
a person who did it in 3 months?
Yeah. Like
the person
how to
who
create
did it in 3 months was a professional media person. It was the noteworthy. Okay. It was Erica Mandy. She was used to be a professional newscaster and she does a news podcast. So it seemed pretty logical that, but to make full-time income in 3 months is unheard of. Even if you are, there's a lot of professional broadcasters that have podcasts and they don't do that.
You have to really like think back. Number one, think back as to even her approach in 2017. I very distinctly remember her investing very specifically on showing up to Podcast Movement in Anaheim.
Absolutely. Yes. She has been to every event.
She had written thank you cards for every influencer in the podcasting space, immediately came in, met everyone, was in your face, getting you like to love her right away. So you knew who she was. Like, I still have that thank you note inside of my wallet. Not right now here, but I still have it.
I'm not going to say that did something for her career. Definitely showing up and learning in person and taking notes was a huge difference. It made a huge difference.
Yes, but also this. If you listen to, there's, in fact, I'm going to tell you guys to go to either Listen Notes or Podchaser and search for Erica Mandy being interviewed in shows.
Okay.
Because there is one specific show that she did with Christine, I can't remember what her last name is, where she broke it down how she did it. I want you to listen to that, because the woman is smart. Like, what I'm telling you is that it wasn't just magic. Like, she was spot on, incredibly clear about what she wanted, how she wanted it, how to sell it. She also had sales skills. She already knew how to work in media. She already knew like what her, the key component of her podcast were. And she's really able to, in fact, you know what, dude? I wrote an article based on an interview I just did. I'm going to have to share it over here because it is so good. She gives some really awesome insights. I'm going to send it over and I'm going to put it in the chat. Because
put it in the show notes.
She really breaks down exactly the before even making money and what made the biggest difference. So I'm gonna put it in the show notes here. And there we go. And Melissa, maybe she can see it too. But I interviewed her because a lot of people are looking how to make money and doing all this stuff, right? And so she broke it down in exactly how to know who your audience is, what your key like selling point for your podcast is and all of that stuff, so that she was able to provide the support. And also, her podcast is 10 minutes.
I know, but it still has advertising though. No, but it has,
I know.
It also has X amount of ads, which is great.
Yes. And she was able to figure out what to do with that. And people want to, anyway, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm not trying to dissuade people, but there's a lot to think about. It's not just like you just start a podcast. Like she was very strategic in the type of show she was going to do, how long her show was going to be, what her output was going to be, what her expectations were, how many people she needed to be getting in order to start to sell. Like she did all that research up front. So It's not like I'm just going to, right? She was able to do it, but she was like super.
She worked like a dog and she had no, I mean, she's a mama now, but she wasn't then. Yeah. But she was, right. She wasn't then, but she is now. But again, that doesn't mean it's impossible. And there are lots of other ways to make money. And I encourage you to come to She Podcast Live if you want to learn.
Yes.
You know, even if you don't even know which thing you want to do to make money with it, you will be so chock full of inspiration and ideas by the time you leave that you will not even, I mean, first of all, I feel like you will have a good direction, but I mean, just the amount of creativity and what people do with their podcast is absolutely amazing. Go to shepodcastlive.com right now and get your ticket before the prices go up because this wasn't even planned. I'm just saying she did this. People who are successful end up, it's because they end up going to events, being inspired, taking notes, following up with people, asking for advice, looking for education every step of the way. So we encourage you to do that. She Podcast Absolutely. Live, which is in Washington, D.C. in June. Okay. Now you have on here the Women's Podcast Report from Edison Research and Sirius XM Media. Now, this research that's going to be done by Edison is about women listeners.
Yes.
Not
correct.
Creators. So
Correct. This is about women listeners. Correct. We are not going to report on the data because it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I do believe they have it, but we don't have it. Yeah, correct. They have it. We don't have it. They're going to be releasing this information on December 14th. There's going to be a link in the show notes so that you can sign up. Now, when you sign up and you can't, let's say you can't attend, don't worry about it. They'll have a replay, but it's 2 p.m. Eastern time, December 14th. Again, link in the show notes. And the webinar, among many findings, you'll be able to find the demographics of women podcast listeners, the podcast discovery habits of women podcast listeners, how women promote and share podcasts, why women follow podcasts or hosts on social media, how women feel about brands on podcasts. So this is not, again, like Jess mentioned, not the creator side. This is the listener side. So if your podcast, or actually, you know, this is wonderful for any podcast, but if it targets women, obviously you need to pay attention. But also, if you're looking to diversify your audience, if you want to have more of parity in between who your listeners are, this is something that you need to look at, particularly in on the promotion side of things, right? So again, I think that this would be really helpful. So do show
Not
up.
Not parody like satire. Parody like quality.
Parody as in like,
If I hear that word, I think jokes immediately. I think jokes.
And maybe other people might too, but... I okay, no so longer think of that.
I anyway. Know you don't, yes. But the rest of us do. Okay. Okay, let's just talk about Be Loud. Be Loud helps kids find their voices and connect with community. So in New Orleans, there is a studio called Be Loud Studios. It's a nonprofit program that helps kids build confidence through radio and digital media production. It's a 2-hour workshop.
I love this.
With a group introduction where everyone assumes a DJ name and then there's a quick game to get everyone's hearts and minds moving. And the DJ names are very original. DJ Vader, DJ Frying Pan, DJ KJ, DJ Instant Ramen, DJ Bird, DJ Flip Phone. These are so creative.
So cute. But here's one of the reasons why I put it in here. So absolutely. I think this program is astounding. I believe that I would love to partner with a program like this. I think.
Me too. It's so cool.
Just as a whole, it's such an incredible thing. I think that the growth of a program like this would be incredible. But here's the reason why I was like, the minute I read this part, I was like, yes. So this is what it says. While podcasting is the focus, Owen said the goal is not to create broadcasters. Rather, the process is a way to connect kids to the community and to each other. So part of what this is that the kids get to connect with each other, creating these things, connecting with their voices, being able. And the other thing is that the reason it also started is because there's what they noticed is that there was a lot of kids who were unable to hear. I think it says it right here. So it says this. Quote, this all started as a writing intervention project for kids who had difficulty putting their thoughts on paper, said Alex Owen, who works as a teacher and is the executive director of the program. A few years ago, we brought mics into the classroom as an experiment to get kids to vocalize their thoughts, and the students loved it. The next thing we know, a student brings in script he wrote and how to make homemade slime, and it was one of those aha moments, end quote. Yeah. So to me, this is a tool. This is why I always often talk about podcasting as a tool for self-transformation. It's a tool for yourself to be able to be a better human because you're able to figure out what works for you. Get confident in your voice. Get confident in writing because you're starting the process maybe not by writing, but by vocalizing something and coming back to it. And also starts to connect people working together in this 3D experience, right? Because with podcasting, it's all incredibly immersive to be able to work through this. And it also takes away the pressure of having to be on camera, which for a lot of kids, I mean, even a microphone is kind of weird, but like having to be that. So that's why I love this whole entire thing, because again, nothing against being a professional broadcaster, which is great.
Yeah.
Awesome. But a lot of times these skills that you learn here, you can take, right? You can do your thing. You can become a better doctor because now you feel better at being able to use your words to communicate with patients that are coming in. You're able to figure out what's going on in your team. What if you have administrative things that you're trying to figure out how to do? You now know how to get that thought across in an easier way. So all of that stuff is super important. I just love it. I love this thing.
Yeah. What a great idea.
We'll have a link in the show notes for that, by the way.
It's in New Orleans. But yeah, check it out and maybe make a donation if you're feeling called to do so. It's a great cause. Okay, now she has in here the big problem with Spotify Wrapped. And it's an article from Wired. If you're a Spotify customer, you know that they do a yearly wind up of everything you've listened to. It's like a year in review of content. It's never relevant to me because of how much I use it for my son. So like most of what I use it for actually.
Totally.
But for people who don't use it for that, you know, it's like sort of like a, oh yeah, that's right. In February, I was in an emo phase and I was listening to this. And then in the summer, I have beach tunes and whatever. People like being able to show who they are through what they experience. And people love this. They like sharing what they've done all year, but you know, it doesn't seem like personal data. For example, like a graphic showing someone played We Don't Talk About Bruno 120 times indicates the person is a child. Too many sad songs will indicate a person's really going through it. It's fascinating to know you're in the top 0.1% of listeners of the new Taylor Swift album. You know what? To be honest with you, we've had this talk a very long time ago. We talked about the Spotify service and how you can turn on a feed on the right side of the screen that shows you, you know, every time you listen to a new song. And I thought, it's humiliating information for me at the time. He was a baby. And part of what I was playing was like kids' lullaby version of Queen. And then I would, you know, play dance, you know, like I was playing all kinds of crazy stuff. And also, yeah, if you're playing all sad songs, you don't want people to reach out and be concerned about you if you're just in a mood or whatever. So, I mean, I don't particularly like other users knowing what I listen to in case I am in a, you know, what if I'm working out? I don't want people to know that it's like all Lady Gaga all the time because it's none of their business if I like the Gaga. It's just none of their business.
Well, in terms of this stuff, I think that as a marketing experience, as a cultural thing, they have really nailed it. Like Spotify, the way that they roll it out, the way that everybody talks about it, the way that everybody really loves to see it, like all of that stuff is genius marketing. It gets,
you're right.
It is unbelievably far-reaching and gets more eyes onto Spotify, and people want to have that because everybody else is doing it. So it's like this whole like FOMO vibe. And now Apple has started doing the same thing, and it doesn't even match. I mean, not match as in like in terms of the caliber of stuff that Spotify puts out. It's amazing. But I think that the thing that really gets to me here is there are two quotes that I want to mention, because that's the stuff that we often don't think about. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is kind of true here. So this is the quote from the article. Quote, "This is a particularly shiny example of the fact that Spotify's business model is based on surveillance," says Evan Greer, director of the digital rights advocacy group Fight for the Future. "Spotify has done an amazing job at marketing surveillance as fun and getting people to not only participate in their own surveillance, but celebrate it and share it and brag about it to the world," which is pretty astounding. It's brilliant. And then at the end, it says this, quote, "It's kind of ironic that at the end of every year, people are celebrating the fact that Spotify is spying on them," says Greer. "I think it's particularly insidious because music is so personal and emotional. The music that we listen to is part of who we are." So, you know, there's always a balance to it, of course. And folks tend to want to give the data over so that they can get these curated experiences. And there, you have to realize like what they're actually keeping, right? And even though Spotify says they're getting rid, like if you close your account, they get rid of all that stuff. They really value all of the privacy things. They really protect their users. But they're really getting so much insight into behavior, into what time you listen to songs or what time songs are being listened to, what type of songs are being listened to, trend lines in terms of gender and the type of songs that they're listening to, times of day when they're being listened to. Like there's just so much information that you're putting in there, where folks are listening, an incredible amount of data that you may not want to be having somebody put together, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't feel comfortable sharing. I mean, my music library is different than I feel my podcast listening library. Like I don't,
without question,
I don't want that. Hallecue, what does she say? She says, "Creepy but cool. Also feel it gives creators free content and visuals to use and repurpose. I'm always grateful for that." This is true, right? Make it easy. That's the other thing. They make it easier for you to share and you just share it. And you kind of want to be part of everything. And then I go into Spotify this year. I use Spotify more than I've ever used it, but I only used it to watch podcasts, literally, because I watch Call Her Daddy on Spotify. I watch it.
Right.
I like to watch her show. I don't have a Wrapped. And so I open it up and I guess you're supposed to listen to 30 songs at least, something like that. And I don't listen to music on Spotify.
You're one of those weirdies.
I'm one of those weirdies that doesn't get a Wrapped. And there is a part of me where I'm just like, oh, I wish that I could, right? But I don't know. I mean, what can I say?
What can you say? I mean, is there any harm that Spotify has that data? People, anytime someone gives you a personalized fun thing to post, people always cry about privacy.
Is it people, really? Is it people? I don't think people are crying about privacy.
Who's crying about it?
The people who care about you, like the tech parents who are going, trying to bring people going like, this can't be good, y'all. You cannot just continue to give your data over without even thinking about it. So most the population isn't even thinking about it.
What about the AI time machine?
I don't even know what that is.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
It's people who are putting up, they put up a bunch of selfies of themselves that they've taken, however recently, and then it spits out pictures of you lost in time.
Oh, I just saw Lisa, our friend Lisa, she posted.
Yeah, I have them too. I thought you might like to see them.
Oh, wait, I think you, did you, I think you,
I haven't shared
did you
them
share
yet.
That with
this
me?
This is my first, not yet. Oh. Nope, not yet.
So what is it? Is it, again, one of those things where they're going to be doing like face recognition and now they have you in a thing and you don't know who's running it? It could be like China that's getting your face recognition now and they know you.
I mean, yes, I hope not. Let me share my screen. There I am as an Egyptian queen.
Oh, my God.
Here I am as an ancient Greek person. Here I am as a Greek goddess, where they tried to de-Jew me, I think, as much as they could. Celtic princess.
Wait, how does one de-Jew somebody?
You'll see, because there's other ones. Oh. Look at, like, I mean, you know, I think they, like, up here, the, you know, in the Greek thing, like, they kind of, like, I don't know, they took some of the hook out of my nose and made me look a little bit Mother Mary. The Celtic, they kind of left me alone. My eyes are very dark, and my hair is red, and my eyes are green. And then in the Viking, they made me a blonde, but I'm still a big lady. Some of these, I'm like, they made me a huge big lady. Like, here's World Explorer, where I don't know where, what happened here, but like, so these don't look like me at all. They're terrible.
So why do they have different, like, how do they get different types of faces? All the themes, how many pictures?
The themes are on the 10 different selfies, but like, you know, I have a bunch of selfies. Like, I have a bunch of selfies where, like, you know, there's one where I'm looking in this direction and one where I'm looking off in the distance and one.
Yeah.
So here I am as Marie Antoinette.
Oh my God, Jess.
It's like enormous white hairdo. And then French aristocrat. And then French royalty, where they also de-Jewed me a little bit here, but made enormous fat lady. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm rather fond of the American pioneer look, especially the one where my hair is all piled up and like, here's Victorian. God. What happened to me here? It's like,
what happened to the lips?
I know. My lips disappeared.
Also, that top right one, you need to get rid of that one. What the hell's up with that?
What about her?
Didn't even see that.
It's like the fattest version of me they could make. And then they piled hair on top of my head. Boom, she's Victorian. I do like a good cowgirl look, though.
Yes. Wow.
I look good as a cowgirl. Wait,
what's with the cowgirl in the middle, though, Jess? What's with the cowgirl with that thing in the middle of the
forehead? She has a flag on her head. And same with the one bottom left. It's like they took my hair. I don't know what they did with it, but it's just bad. It's just very, very bad. But that's pretty. Most of these, Scott was like, these don't look anything like you. Now, the flapper is a problem for me.
Okay.
Just the short hair, the big face. I'm not into that. Then they drew me as like a British cartoon. There's more here. I'm an owl. I mean, 1930s scientist.
Oh, wow.
They have me discovering penicillin with Marie Curie here.
Look at that middle picture. You look so like, it looks like accurate isn't you, but look at that. It looks like you're just kind of scared. You're like,
I know. And look right? These are insane.
Yes.
1940s painter, glamorous, 50s person.
Whoa, that does not, like, that's, they took everything out of you on that one. I don't even know. It could be anyone.
I know. These are terrible, too. 1950s chic. And some of this one, I don't even have eyes. Look, there's no eyeballs.
Oh, my God. There is no eyeballs.
Look at this one. Just hurtful.
What is that? Is that some kind of pie?
It's a 50s illustration. So it's supposed to be, I guess, pinup girl. But my eyes are all wonky. Like I have eye problems. I like the hippie, though. I do look good as a hippie.
Yes, you do. Look at the pink hair, dude. That looks amazing. That top right one. Look at that. It's like sultry hair. Like that. Yeah, that's a cool one. Also, that middle one is really cute, too.
I like this one, too.
There's like some really cool...
It's like flowers in your hair. And then that's 70s crazy. Where I look like my mom in every picture or my aunt.
Those are great.
Have you right? seen these? And then
they are amazing.
These are probably the worst one. This is the most horrible. They show me with a green curly mohawk. It's so bad. This one too is strange, but I do like those glasses. Yeah. So you just, like I said, you upload about 10 pictures and then here's me as an astronaut. So you just upload yourself.
How does this happen though? Who is this company? Like, what company is this?
It's called MyHeritage. So it's actually a company that does like ancestry.
They do your heritage. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, did they pick the type of person to make you, or do they just pick all the things? Do they like look at your face and go, "Oh, this is where the heritage"?
They chose about 10 things to make me, and then they give you options to make more if you want. So I wanted to see myself as like a pirate or whatever.
Okay, and it's for MyHeritage, yeah. And so do they pick it based on your face features?
I doubt it. I think they just, I doubt it. I don't know, though. There's another way you can do it, too, in the Lensa app, L-E-N-S-A. But they were not nearly as good because in some of those, I'm like an anime character. They were just ridiculous.
I saw that you can do that with, there were a couple of AI things, too, that I just saw somebody else doing it. And you can be like superhero type things. Oh, my God. My
yes, that's what it is. Me.
But the thing is, they're not free. So you can't, you have to pay for these.
No,
you
yeah,
have
this to pay was $12. It was $12.
Do you have to?
I wanted to.
You pay $12 to get all of that done.
Yeah.
And be able to download it or whatever.
Yep. And be able to download them. Okay. Not that I'm, what am I going to do with it? Who knows? But I just wanted to see what it would be like. And I mean, in not one of those categories do I feel like I'm looking at any of my ancestors, except maybe the flapper. And that's because that's how my grandmother used to dress. And I.
Yeah. And that's what I think that that's what I was getting at, because there's a lot of pictures, like even around here where I've just been looking at old school pictures, and a lot of them look very genuine, as in like that looks like that a picture that was created in the 1930s or the 1940s. Yeah, and the vibe of the whole thing, it looks really on point. Even the color, right? All of that
even
stuff.
Even the color. But, the question is, is it harmful though? The question is, like, every time something like this comes out, there's all these posts about how you shouldn't upload pictures of yourself to anyone for any reason at any time.
And that's
like, who's going to look at these and be like, now that's a girl I need to rob from, like, or steal from?
Well, no,
or
Jess,
hurt.
It's not about robbing. It's just about what general surveillance. It's like, it's about general surveillance. It's about the data points that are literally, like, it's not about robbers. This is about more from governments. More from terrorists, hackers.
Oh, I mean,
that stuff.
I guess.
I'm not talking about somebody who, oh, let's see if we can rob her in the bank. No, 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 no. This can be somebody could grab that and have almost.
And then what? Create like my driver's license and then just.
Yes,
me.
That kind of stuff. And also reverse. What is that stuff when people take over your accounts where, like, let's say.
Identity theft.
Oh, yeah, but identity theft in the, there's a word for this. I can't remember right now, but it's like, it's the kind of stuff where you have to call PayPal, let's say, because I know that this has happened, at least I've had to, it was a while ago, but PayPal will ask you some questions that are beyond your security questions. And there are some things that you should be the only one to be able to know this information, but they are able to get access to all of these points based on the knowledge of your behavior online and the things that you put, like where you put your information. And like, there's a lot of stuff like this, like where I'm sure you had to put in an email address or something. I mean, like something specific,
my email.
Like your age. And like, you know,
my email,
so there's like,
you know, nope, just my email. And if I wanted female or male, that's it.
So there's a lot to think about. I think it's really fun, too, though. Like, I want to see those pictures. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. I may be, I don't know, maybe I'm just hella naive, but like, I don't feel unsafe with them having my face, the Heritage app or the Lensa app having my face. Now, if they sell it to bad people, that's different. But I still.
It's not even selling, though, Jess. It is just lack of security. Like, it's maybe not you being robbed, but because, like, I believe right now, I think there was something else that was just hacked where they grabbed. I forgot what app it was. It was a messaging app with, like, that a lot of people use. Like, it's just, there's a lot, right? And access points to a lot of these places, that's where the problem is. It's not you, right? It's that third party thing. And also, it just becomes. It's the transference of information that you just, we don't value that as much because we don't see it. But I think that there is a lot more to it. Like, I remember, so James Cridlin did a, I believe he posted this a while ago on his own Twitter account, but you can also find it on his Mastodon account where I did this too already, but I downloaded my Twitter archive, you know, just so that I have it just in case something happens, right? So I have my Twitter archive. And he, of course, because he's such a nerdy person, he did all kinds of stuff to be able to see like all the information that came with it. And he was astounded by the type of stuff that was in there that he didn't even know.
Really?
You could see like that had nothing to do with his name. It had to do with like IP addresses and like there was other stuff that was attached to to the information that was being shared that he didn't really see was there. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. nobody looks at the code. Nobody looks at the code that's in there. So if you think yeah. about that from the, not just you, but what if everybody starts to put their stuff in there? Then they start to compile more and more and more and more and more data. And the more data mm-hmm. we have, the more the choices that are being made to get things done change, right? If we knew more information, you always want more information about who our people are, like, because you want to know, like, what do people want to know on She Podcast Live? Like, what are some things that they would imagine if we had, like, the key thing that everybody wanted? You would be able to design something in the positive to be able to sell that better.
Yeah.
Now, think about right. it from the dark side of things, where you see all of these data points and you can track, look at this whole slew of thousands of people that are all doing this thing. Ooh. And you can make yeah. choices based around that.
I know. I have yet to be creeped out by it, but.
And again, it's just about paying attention. And I think that there's a level of that too, where there's a lot of people who,
yeah.
it's sort of like, as somebody who doesn't know very much about the world, like as a parent, there's a lot of times your kid's going to go, who cares about that? I just want to do the thing. And you're like, no, you got to care because X, Y, Z. And if they yes, still don't, then you can like put the parameters and the boundaries and you have to be like, well, until you know, this is where you cannot go. Okay.
Right.
That's what we need, because there's a lot of people who don't know exactly what you're saying. Let's just do all the things. I don't care. Let me put my email address. Let's click all the buttons. You don't know what you're doing, but you need to, maybe sometimes you kind of do need somebody to go, don't go there.
You know, I really like the idea of teaching kids how to podcast. That sounds fun. That sounds like a fun thing to do.
It does.
I wonder if I could make that a job. Like, could I go to different schools and like help people? I mean, I really want to know more about like what the curriculum is. Like, do they go through the whole pain of like cover art and intro outro, or do they just go yeah. here's a microphone and here's interviewing and here's what you could talk about, you know?
Well, it depends on what
I love
you're doing.
This idea. I just think that sounds super fun.
There's lots of people who do that already. In fact, there's some of our community members who do that. You can ask Andrea Klunder.
Does she do that for kids? She does.
Yeah, she did it for kids.
Oh, see, Paula is saying she pitched a camp to teach summer yeah. version. I love that idea.
Our video editor for Libsyn teaches at a university level, and they're using Libsyn Studio to mm-hmm. for the entire thing. And it's like the best, because you could just go in there and you can teach them how to do all the bits, right? Because again, yeah. you're not teaching somebody. It's for the kids. So you could just do whatever. So yeah, me. See, Andrea's there.
Hi, Andrea. I'm going to talk to you about that.
Just gave you a shout out. Gave you a shout
I'd
out there, lovely.
I'd love to talk to you about that. Because I mean, I live yep. near Philadelphia and Washington and Baltimore. And I bet there's just, not to mention who's here in Delaware. And there's just like a ton of kids. So I think would really benefit from that.
And so look here, I'm going to share. So Andrea has this, the Power Your Story podcast is the podcast at the end of the curriculum. So the curriculum happens and then Power Your Story is the thing. So you can listen to the work of the kids mm-hmm. in the Power mm-hmm. Your Study podcast, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And you also have, I used to teach Shakespeare to kids too. And I used to
That's
teach
probably an uphill theater. Battle.
And it's, and theater as a whole. And when you're teaching middle schoolers, it's rough. Let's put it that way. It's
rough. I like high schoolers though. And late middle school. I don't mind kids yeah. though, like if they're older. I don't like the kids I don't want to teach are elementary. I don't want any kids being like, that's not fair. I didn't have a turn. Like 10 and older is usually who I like to hang out with. That sounds bad, but you know what I'm saying.
I'm like no, I understand. I just, yeah, because that's
fourth, fifth. I mean, because my niece and nephew are 10 and they seem like relatively intelligent human beings. And my son is 8 and he seems like he could throw a tantrum in any minute. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Like I can, you know, not when I'm teaching. Yeah, like, that no. just seems bad. But, you know, it enough where they can be creative and thoughtful and yeah, be good. Paula says, I did a career day at my son's school. They screamed in my mic for 2 hours.
Oh, dear. Let's avoid that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think
you
that
so
you
much.
Would probably have to have them listen to themselves, too, because if they're just have the microphone in front, they won't even know what they're doing. Like they won't even know it's, you know what I mean? They won't They won't. Yes. Know. Anyway.
I love it. Anyway. All right. Let's wrap it up. We love you guys. Again, if you want to figure out how to monetize your podcast and you're one of those 30%, sign up for She Podcast Live in Washington this coming June. ShePodcastLive.com. You'll be inspired. You'll hear all these different creative ways to monetize your podcast, and you'll be able to do it as well. Also, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok at She Podcast. We love you guys for watching us live. Thank you, Paula, Andrea. Thank you to Bonnie and to Palacu and John. And thank you guys all for piping up today. And thank you for listening. If you're listening to this audio, you can find us on video every Monday at 1 o'clock on our LinkedIn and YouTube, because I think Facebook, we're only doing it in the group now, or sometimes on the page.
I just put it on the page now.
Okay, so it's on the page. Okay.
Yeah,
so it's on our page. Check it out. Thank you so much. It was wonderful to see you. We love you.
Mean it.
Bye.